Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, coming to you after that really good intro music, by the way, that's been on the show for a little while now. But big shout out to a local indie band called Vox and the Hound. By the way, that's a song off their new album, which is coming out this year sometime in the spring. They don't have a release date yet for it. But the new album is going to be called Aloha Shores. And the first single from Aloha Shores is actually going to be released at Gasa Gasa on February 10th. It's called Recapitated. I'm going to be at the show. It should be a lot of fun. That's a pretty cool music venue. So anyone, if you've got some spare time on February 10th, come out, see Vox and the Hound at Gasa Gasa. Talk some Pels. It should be a fun night overall. Wasn't a fun night for the Pelicans last night as they did lose to the Toronto Raptors on the road, in overtime at least. 108-106. Pels had a pretty big lead at halftime. Should have won this game. Davis didn't play particularly well. Holiday did. But it just wasn't enough, and they kind of fell apart towards the end of the game. So I'm going to recap that for you guys here today on Locked On Pels. Also going to talk more about the basketballbreakdown.com GM experiment. Project that I'm participating in. It's gone a little wild. I'll talk about maybe one or two of the trades that have been made, what I'm working on with the Pelicans. I talked about that yesterday. I said I'd keep giving you guys updates throughout the week. So hopefully I'll be able to make a move soon. Nothing's been done yet, but there's a lot of talks, including a potential kind of blockbuster I've got the Pels involved in. Just maybe not in the way you guys hope. But that's what's going to be here today on Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, on Audioboom, on Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are found. Make sure you subscribe to it, that you're rating it 5 stars, sharing it on social media, following it on Twitter, at Locked On Pels. It's on Facebook. Give it a like as well. And if anyone's interested in advertising on it, rates are good and cheap. They're pretty reasonable here. So shoot me an email. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com, bourbonstshots.com. It's what keeps this free for our listeners, so it's only a good thing. And get your name out there with, you know, some key demographics, and I can give you more details later. So 108-106 loss to Toronto in overtime actually leaves the Pelicans 3.5 games back of 8th in the West, and as Justin Verrier pointed out on Twitter tonight, 3.5 games ahead of last place in the West. So this awful, awful little slice of limbo no man's land where they don't want to be at all, where, you know, you could kind of try and bottom out and tank and make that first round pick you have as high up in the lottery as possible. But the problem is you're also still quite close to playoff contention. And with Dell Demps having, you know, his job on the line potentially, with Alvin Gentry having his job on the line potentially, you can't figure that they're going to want to tank. They're going to get fired. Who cares about the future if you're not there to be a part of it? You know, who cares about small ball lineups working if Anthony Davis gets too banged up playing center all the time, you know, to be out there in the lineup? It's a problem. So they're stuck in this weird spot, and they just kind of show you how inconsistent of a team they are. Pelicans had a 14-point lead at halftime over Toronto, who'd been struggling, and their offense didn't look pretty good all night long. Pelicans were doing a decent job on the offensive glass, but, and, you know, managed to blow it, went to overtime where they looked kind of listless. Anthony Davis played 41 minutes. He'd played 40-plus in the two previous games as well. Had his worst game of the season, worst shooting game, I guess you would say, was 4 of 18, 22.2%. Missed a three, which would have given the Pelicans a lead late in the fourth quarter. No, in overtime. That's okay. You're not upset about the one missed three. Did grab 17 rebounds, but 4 of 18. Did get to the line, though, a lot. 10 of 12 from the free throw line. Did have 18 points, 17 rebounds, but 4 of 18 just isn't going to cut it. Imagine if he was making those shots, the type of line he could have put up tonight. Would have had, you know, potentially close to 40 points, you know, with just a few more makes potentially. Drew Holiday, though, was kind of the other shining light for the Pels here. 30 points, 13 of 21 from the field, 3 of 5 from deep overall. He got to the rim with ease last night against Toronto. You know, I talked about on the podcast before, one of the issues with the Pelicans is sometimes when Davis is out there, they're all a little bit passive, looking more to get him the ball, get him going, rather than trying to assert themselves on the game and in the flow of everything. And Drew Holiday did that tonight. He was aggressive. He wanted to get out there. He would probe the defense for a moment or two, saw a bit of a lane to get to the rim, would take just a quick step or two, and managed to get in for a layup, and Toronto had no answer for it defensively. They didn't tighten up on the defensive side of the ball until late in the, you know, about halfway, I'd say, through the fourth quarter, third and fourth quarter, but a lot of that had to do with the Pels just taking some really bad shots. And overtime, Davis looked out of sync all night long, didn't look keyed in on defense, wasn't setting particularly good screens. They were very lazy. He was just kind of moving them. They looked almost illegal most of the time because of that. Yet, despite Davis looking so off and being out of sync, the Pels had chances to win this. And in overtime, they managed to get it close. They had a tie game, 106-106. And they did something smart, which was they had Solomon Hill before he – so Solomon Hill guarded – I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain this. Solomon Hill ended up switching on to Kyle Lowry after a big set of screen, and I forget which big it was, and ended up defending him perfectly. 106-106, there were 17 seconds left on the clock in overtime. You knew Lowry's taking the shot. He was dribbling up by the half-court line, ready to ISO on Solomon Hill, and Solomon Hill played perfect defense on him entirely. Was unbelievable. Smothered him. Forced him back out close to the three-point line. Was just an inch away from him without fouling. Had his arms up, and Lowry launches a shot. Two-pointer, thank God. Hits it despite the perfect defense. That is just a big-time player making a big-time play in a big-time situation. Just clutch as clutch can be. There's no other way to describe it. But, you know, you can't be upset about that. The defense was perfect. Lowry just hit a near-impossible shot, and what are you going to do? There's nothing more Solomon Hill could have done in that situation. So, Pels call a timeout, and this is where it gets a little bit ugly. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Get a side out. They're inbounding from the left side of the ball. Everyone else is lined up about a yard above the free throw line. You got Buddy Hield out there, Langston Galloway out there, Drew Holiday's inbounding, Etuan Moore, and Anthony Davis. Shooter, shooter, shooters, basically. And it looks like what happened was Etuan Moore's curling around to go to the near corner, the left corner. To at least be an anchor in there. I don't think he's expecting to get the ball. Davis pops out too, and both the players collide. Holiday needs to get this ball inbounds, throws it to Etuan Moore, who's in the corner for a three with about 4 seconds left. Shoots a shot. It is, I think, tipped a little bit. Looks like Toronto blocked it some. Doesn't really get to even the iron of the rim, though it might have touched a little bit. Game over. Ball game. Now, what happened on that final play, and this is just, this shows how off Anthony Davis was all game. Etuan Moore's supposed to curl around, and then Davis is supposed to pop out. Davis popped out early. He even said as much after the game. He just wasn't mentally there. And that's a bit odd, especially because they just played six at home. They did have a day off. They played on Sunday. They didn't play on Monday before going on this three-game road trip. He should have enough rest. Yeah, he's played a lot of minutes the past couple of games. But it's still, this is the best player on the team, the guy who's your leader. And he just had such an off night and still managed to put up 18 and 17. Shows you how good he is. But, whew, 3.5 back of the A seed, 3.5 back of bottom in the Western Conference. No man's land. Will the Pels be able to get a win against Detroit tonight? Not entirely sure about that one. That's a tough matchup, though Davis probably is going to go off big to make up for the game he had against Toronto. You know, he had, what was it, the 50-20 point game or 16-20 last year. 59, maybe? I forget exactly the point scored. 59, I think, and 20-something against Detroit and Andre Drummond last season. Going to need some magic like that if the Pels really want to try and win. Basically, by the end of this road trip, and I said, you know, at the end of March, they might be out of playoff contention. Not March, of January. The end of January, they might be out of playoff contention. Despite being at one point, what, they were a game back. Now they're 3.5 back. With a tough game against Detroit, a tough game against the Wizards. Then you come home, luckily, get the Suns. That should be winnable. But then on Wednesday, you get the Jazz. They're very good. Not an ideal time, you know, to have the Pelicans' best player not playing particularly well. But enough about sad, depressing things. Let's have some fun and talk about fake hypothetical trades. So I was talking to you guys yesterday about the basketball breakdown.com GM thing we're doing, and I'm still in charge of the Pelicans. And I said I have some goals here, and I'm approaching it like I am Del Demps with kind of my job on the line. So tanking outright just doesn't, to me, make sense as the GM. At a certain point, I just need to, you know, kind of watch my own ass and make sure I have a job. There's 30 GM positions in the NBA. I would like to remain as one of them. And then I need to factor in things that Tom Benson, the owner, would approve of, with stretching Omer Asik maybe being borderline yes or no. It would just depend. So the whole goal was to try and move Asik. So two priorities, move Omer Asik without taking really any long-term salary back, and then try and, you know, use what other assets are left, hopefully still a first-round pick. And I'm not going to attach that first-round pick to move Omer Asik. Try and attach that to a deal here, which will get me a player that's going to help this team improve and, you know, make a run at the playoffs. So, you know, I told you about the deal potentially we're working on with Charlotte, where Omer Asik's going to go there. We'll bring back Roy Hibbert, $5 million expiring contract, no long-term money. Needed a third team to facilitate this. So I've reached out to the Sixers, who have cap space. They're interested, especially because they'd get some second-round picks coming back to them for this. Potentially the Nets, and potentially, actually, shockingly, the Portland Trail Blazers, who earlier in the day had traded Damian Lillard to Milwaukee, gotten a ton of people back. And I don't want to spoil all of the moves here, but they have room, basically, to take on Spencer Hawes and make it work. One of the things I've learned to get to grease the wheels with one of these third teams is Terrence Jones is probably going to need to be sent out in this deal, which, while disappointing and I know would upset fans if he were to be gone, you have to realize that he's probably in line for such a big payday this offseason that the Pelicans aren't going to be able to keep him. They don't have his full bird right, so they can't go above the salary cap into the above the soft cap to sign him. They need to sign him with cap space, which if you're re-signing Drew Holiday, you're going to have much less of. You know, they could have, depending on a few different things, up to right around 31 million, between 31 and 33 million. But if Holiday's signing a $25-26 million deal, your cap space is a whole lot less. And basically, Terrence Jones just doesn't fit in there. Donatas Mata-Yunus is a more realistic option. But, you know, again, we need to wait and see how the rest of his season goes out. But Terrence Jones is looking at 12, 13, maybe 15 million per year. So he's not coming back. So if I can get anything for him, and even that includes moving Omer Asik's contract, I'm not going to be too upset about him going, despite how well he's played for the Pelicans. Which leads us to some of the deals. So he would either be going to the Nets, the Sixers, along with some second-round picks, or potentially to Portland. And I know Portland's fake GM, Oliver Moroney, has some interest. So we've talked about a deal, and all of a sudden we're trying to get, you know, Charlotte back involved here. And if we can make this, we might have a blockbuster on our hands. It's so, and we have yet to hear from the Charlotte GM, but Portland also wants to bring back Nick Batum. So they're willing to include some first-round picks and some other players in this to make it work. And all of a sudden, the Pelicans would be receiving Noah Vonley, power forward, from Portland. It's on a cheap contract. It's like $2.5 million a year this year and next year. That's fine to bring that kind of money back. Hibbert expires. Pels would probably need to give up 2 second-round picks in this deal. That's fine. You don't necessarily really need those. It's okay. And maybe a pick swap with Charlotte to make it happen, just because of the salary they'd be bringing back. And Langston Galloway, in this case, would also be going to them now. So they're getting Omer Asik, Langston Galloway. So the Pelicans are shipping out Omer Asik, Langston Galloway, Terrence Jones, bringing in Roy Hibbert, Noah Vonley. And then between Charlotte and New Orleans, they would have the better of the first-round pick. We would have the worst. To get rid of Asik's contract, I'm pretty willing to do this deal if it were to go through as is. You get the front court help to replace Asik and Terrence Jones going away. You get cap flexibility going forward. This saves the Pels a lot of money long term, saving them about, you know, basically it's like a $9 million a year savings that you can then go have that in free agency to put towards Mata Yunus or someone else in a pretty loaded free agent class. And then if I can move that first round pick, which I'd still have one, it'd be a mid to late first rounder, or basically a mid first rounder, the more I think about it, you move that for someone else, potentially Paul Millsap, potentially Nikola Vucevic, or move Tyreek Evans out to bring in and help one of those guys get over here. And all of a sudden you're looking at Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, say Paul Millsap or Vucevic, that's fine. Asik's contract gone. You can re-sign Mata Yunus. You can probably bring in one other guy. You still have Etuan Moore. You still have Tim Frazier. You still have Dante Cunningham, Solomon Hill. And this team just looks a little bit better overall and with a long-term future that at least is going to be competitive. Maybe not NBA championship good, but it's at least going to be competitive. But need to wait and see if this deal will go through, if ever we can get everyone agree. What I've learned is it's tough when you don't have a ton of assets and you can't just outright tank. Yes, I would love to be able just to trade Drew Holiday for a first-round pick or two. But if I'm going to be fired as the GM, I don't really want to do that deal and care if this team has 2 first-round picks. Because, frankly, I think I realize my job is on the line and I'm going to be gone if we don't make the playoffs. And that's not ideal to have a GM that's thinking like that, but it's the reality of the situation for the Pelicans. So, you know, it is what it is, and we got to kind of go forward with that and see what happens and if I can get anything done and if the Pelicans are going to be able to get anything done as the trade deadline approaches. So that's going to be it for today's Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison. Thank you all for listening. Game tonight in Detroit. Hopefully the Pels can get a win. We'll see if that's the case or not. No idea just yet. Tyreek Evans sat out against Toronto. He should be available to play in Detroit tonight since he's not playing in back-to-back, so they rested him on the first, knowing they have a better chance to win on the second one. See if the Pelicans can get the win, whether they win or lose. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow, recapping the game, talking more trades and this little GM thing we're doing. So you all enjoy your day, enjoy the game, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.